When my family and I moved from Chicago to a small rural town in northwest Illinois, I had this quirky notion to raise a small flock of sheep. My thinking came from the idea that God often entrusted sheep to future leaders before he entrusted people to them. I believed God was calling me to be a leader, so why not learn a thing or two by working with sheep? There are a lot of things that I learned in this adventure, but one fact really hit home. Even though sheep are as stupid and stubborn as others have made them out to be, they know the voice of their shepherd. Actually, I could hardly be considered a shepherd, but that's another story. I was the person who made sure that they had food and water, and that was sufficient for them to know who I was. They knew the unique sound of my voice, and they would respond to it. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Do you struggle with discerning the voice of God? Then stick around for part two of Hearing God in a World Full of Noise. Welcome, you're listening to the Media Talk 101 podcast. Media Talk 101 is a nonprofit ministry dedicated to teaching media discernment in the light of following Christ. Visit MediaTalk101.org for helpful articles, videos, and other resources, including our award-winning documentary, Captivated, which the Parents Television Council called deft and powerful. Be sure to send us your comments or questions to podcast@MediaTalk101.org. Once again, that's podcast@MediaTalk101.org. If you find this program helpful, then please consider letting others know about it and help us get the word out. I'm your host, Philip Telfer, founder and president. Rhett and I are back in the Media Talk 101 studio again to continue the subject on hearing God. Rhett, have you ever raised sheep?
No, I haven't.
But I'm sure you've heard a thing or two about sheep.
Yes, but mostly anecdotal stories from preachers.
That's what I figured. And now you're going to hear more of the same.
At least you raise sheep and have some first-hand experience and not just second-hand analogies.
Yeah, I suppose, but it's not much. I certainly could not call myself an authority on sheep.
Well, obviously you think that we have something to learn about hearing God from Jesus' teaching about sheep.
Yes, but maybe not exactly the way some people understand it, or the way that many preachers have taught it. So let me read what Jesus said. John chapter 10, starting with verse 2. It says, "But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." And then later on in verse 27, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." So in this context, Jesus is saying that those who follow him recognize his voice. It's the voice of truth, and he was the true shepherd. I mean, there were a lot of people clamoring to be leaders and to get people's attention, and certainly the audience here, there were all sorts of things, but Jesus was speaking truth. He was the true shepherd. Now, why is that different? As I talk about how this has been taught differently, the common way that people teach this when it comes to about hearing God's voice is about tuning God in. Like there's this cosmic radio that we all have, and we just have to make sure we dial in to the right frequency. And once we're dialed in, now I understand, you know, let me make a disclaimer here. I understand what people are trying to get at. And there's some of the things that I'm going to try to get out as well about, you know, tuning out some of the noise and having an ear that's attentive to God. But I just don't like the analogy, you know, because I don't believe that there's just, you know, a certain frequency, even in the analogy of it. That's not what Jesus is getting at. It's not, and let me explain it this way, going back to my little small flock of sheep. When I was raising sheep, I don't anymore, but when I was, the sheep were not nervous all day long, trying to stay attentive, like, "Oh, was that Philip's voice? Or did Philip say something? Did we hear him correctly?" Believe me, they weren't concerned about that at all. In fact, they wouldn't mind not having anything to do with me. It's another story. But they chewed on the grass, they drank the water, they ate the hay that I gave them, all those things. But the reality was, if I went out to the field and I raised my voice and called them, I could even say, "Hey, you dumb, stupid sheep." Of course, they don't know what that means, but they recognize the voice. And they would all look up. And, you know, if I had you over to my house during that time, and I even told you, "Hey, Rhett, these are the names of all the sheep. Why don't you call them?" It's likely they would completely ignore you because your voice is not associated with food and water or deworming, you know, which is another cause for alarm in sheep and will get their attention. So they knew my voice, and they're not sitting around all day going, "Oh, did I hear him? Did I not hear him? How did I go wrong? What's going on?" They're just going about their business, but they recognize the voice when they hear it. And that's what Jesus is saying. People, when they hear my voice, they recognize that it's me, you know, and that I'm telling the truth and that I am who I say I am. And so that's part of what Jesus was getting at there. So, you know, when we think about Jesus' voice, there are all sorts of ideas. But some questions people have when they think about hearing God's voice, they think, "Well, what's wrong with me? I don't hear God." Or, "His voice is elusive to me." Or, you know, "Maybe I'm failing God somehow." Or, "Maybe I'm too sinful." Or, "Maybe I'm too stubborn." All of these things.
I think I've entertained all of those questions at one time or another.
Well, I have too, you know, and many people have. But here's something very hopeful to consider. And that is, the Bible teaches us that the voice of the Lord is not elusive when he speaks. In fact, there are so many examples in the scriptures of people who heard the voice of the Lord who were not even listening or who were not even people following him. They were rebellious people. And these are people that were not more righteous or spiritual, and that was why they heard from God and others didn't. It was just the fact that when God wanted to speak, he was going to be heard. And though people may not listen or obey, certainly he will be heard. So let me give you some examples, just some bullet points here. You know, think of Saul of Tarsus, you know, who's persecuting Christians. He's chasing them down, and he's on his way to Damascus. And what happens? He gets knocked off his high horse, gets blinded by a light, and he hears the voice of none other than Jesus himself. You know, God speaking to Paul, and or Saul at this point. You know, so he hears the voice of God. And here's, he's not seeking the Lord. He's seeking to wreak havoc in the church. Another example in the Old Testament was the prophet Balaam, who the king Balak wanted to hire to curse Israel. And in fact, not only did he speak blessings that were given by God through Balaam, but also some of Balaam's prophecies were about the coming Christ. And so he was hearing from God. He even tells Balak, "Well, I cannot speak anything other than what God gives me to say." So he's hearing from God. And the reality is if you look up in the New Testament, the three references to Balaam, they're all bad. There's nothing good to say about Balaam. And yet he still heard the voice of God. Another Saul in the Bible in the Old Testament was King Saul. He was chasing David around unrighteously, and David was fleeing for his life. And during one of these instances, while Saul was in rebellion to God, it says that he came into a group of prophets, and the Spirit of God came upon him, and he began to prophesy. It's kind of a strange story. That's one where he takes all of his clothes off and prophesies all day long, and people, you know, begin to mock him. You know, is Saul also among the prophets? But there's an example. Here's a guy who's not a righteous man. He's not, but he hears from God. There are other times, like when Abimelech in the Old Testament, when God spoke to him because Abraham had lied about Sarah being his sister. So here's a guy, this is not a righteous guy, but when God wants to speak, he will. And there's so many stories, you know, the dreams and visions that God gave to Nebuchadnezzar, guys like Pharaoh, other wicked rulers. So, you know, this should give us hope. You know, if God can speak to these lousy guys, you know, certainly he could speak to someone who really wants to be near him and wants to grow. And, you know, some other examples from the scripture is the voice of the Lord is often described, and this is from the Psalms, it says the voice of the Lord is over the waters, the God of glory thunders. You know, and that whole, you know, there's so many things about the voice of the Lord. It's powerful. The voice of the Lord is powerful. It's full of majesty. It breaks cedars. It splinters the cedars of Lebanon. This is not some elusive voice. It's a voice that really penetrates. And there are other verses in the Bible that talk about his voice being thunderous. Or another one that I really like is his voice is described as the sound of many waters. And we think of that, well, if you think of waters, we're not talking about a little, you know, Japanese rock garden trickle or something that's supposed to be peaceful and lull you to sleep. It's not white noise. Many waters, if you've ever been close to a lot of water, you know, like a waterfall, and I've been near several big waterfalls from Niagara Falls to other ones, it's loud. It permeates everything because that's just the nature of water. One of my favorite places in the U.S. is the Oregon coast. I grew up in the state of Oregon, and when I visit there, I always try to find some excuse to get to the Oregon coast. And one of the reasons is the waves are so big there, and there's a lot of rocks, and they come crashing against the rocks, and it's just so loud. I mean, you can hear the ocean from far off, and when you get there, it just kind of drowns out everything. And I love that. It's a great reminder of the voice of the Lord. But here's another thing to consider for all the questions we kind of posed for people that are kind of wondering, why don't I hear the voice of God? You know, there are times that people hear the voice of God in the Bible and they didn't even know it was God. So one story was Samuel, who as a little boy, God began to speak to him and he had no idea it was the Lord. He gets up, he thinks it's Eli, and he says, "You called?" And Eli says, "No, I didn't. Go back to bed. You're mistaken." And then God spoke to Samuel again, and he gets up. He says, "No, certainly." He goes back to Eli. "You did call. I heard you." And he says, "No, you didn't." And finally, Eli picks up on the thought that, oh, maybe God is speaking to him. So he gives Samuel some instructions. Next time you hear that voice, then you just ask him, you know, what he wants you to hear. So... And another reference in John chapter 12, verse 28, Jesus speaks and says, "Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and I will glorify it again." Therefore, the people who stood by and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." So God spoke to him, and there was a discerning that something happened, but they didn't really recognize it. So... all of that, you know, I've said quite a bit there, but, you know, so don't you think that if God speaks, you will hear him? I don't think that that's the real question that the scriptures raise. I think the big question is not will you hear the voice of God, but when you hear it, will you listen and obey? And, you know, there are not many verses that would tell you to work at hearing God's voice. Instead, if you were to do a comprehensive study of this, almost every verse that talks about the voice of the Lord assumes that it is heard, and the real issue is comes with God rebuking the hearers for not listening and obeying. And so, and once again, I talked last week about this is not necessarily concerning the audible voice of God, but certainly God speaks, no doubt. So why do we think we have trouble hearing him?
You've certainly got my attention, and this is something I've been wanting to know more about. So why do we have trouble hearing God if God's voice is not elusive, as you say?
Well, first of all, in what way are we expecting to hear from him? That's a question we have to ask ourselves. And then I would say, secondly, why do we want to hear from him? You know, it sounds like an awkward question, but there's so much about hearing God's voice. But have we thought, what's our motivation? Why do we want to hear from God? Is it because we need direction? Is it because we want to be recognized by others as more spiritual, you know? Or maybe it's because we have a longing for intimacy with God, or as a demonstration of faith and obedience. Or maybe it's because of a lack of faith. We just don't trust God, and we don't say, "Well, unless I hear from God, I don't believe him." So I want to start with that second thing I brought up, you know, why do you want to hear from him? And then that maybe I'll talk a little bit about expectations. So as I'm talking about why you want to hear from him, of course, Rhett, you're sitting across from me, and I'm not talking just about you, you know, but, mm-hmm. but the audience in general. I know you're keen on this subject. I'm keen on this subject. But, you know, speaking to everyone that's listening here, you know, it should be from a sincere desire to obey him and to do his will. That's why you should seek God's voice. And that can include seeking direction, but it really shouldn't be to endorse any spiritual pride. Or even, this might be shocking to some people, I don't believe we should want to hear the voice of the Lord just because we're longing for intimacy. And because I believe that the Bible teaches us time and time again that intimacy with God comes from walking by faith and trusting him. So we shouldn't desire to hear from God because we lack faith. You know, it's like, I don't want to have faith. I want to just hear from God and bypass the necessity of trusting him and having faith. So now going back to the first part that I brought up is what about expecting? How do we expect to hear from God? Are we expecting to hear an audible voice? Are we expecting, you know, this or that? Well, in Psalm 32, verse 8 and 9, it says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. So the Lord wants to teach us. He wants to direct us, but he compares us, like, don't be like the mule. Don't be stubborn. I want you to follow. I want you to listen and heed the instructions that I have. One of the challenges I think we all face for those who really do want to hear from God, which would be myself and you, Rhett, and others, you know, we have to realize that sometimes we're expecting to hear specific things from God that we want to know. You know, maybe we have some questions about direction. We have decisions to make. We're not sure about something. And that makes sense that we would want to hear from God. But if we're expecting to hear specific words from God to us through his Holy Spirit, there are some things that I believe can really quench that kind of communication. And so something that we need to consider is, are we despising the other ways that God is already speaking to us? You know, so we could say, I want to hear from God about this, but we're not spending time in his word. We're not listening to the wisdom and the counsel, or maybe we've gone to somebody who has some wisdom and we ask them for some guidance and we don't like it. We ignore it and we're like, I want to hear something else. Lord, help speak to me. So once again, it's not for us to dictate to God how he speaks to us. And that's one of the challenges we're facing. He does want to speak to us. I said last week, he's a communicative God. He wants to inform us. He wants to lead us. He wants to guide us. But once we get to the point where we're saying, well, I expect that he's going to speak to me this particular way, I think we're circumventing the things that God wants to teach us. And it's not up to us to decide how he's going to speak. It's up to us to say, how is he speaking? And am I listening to all the ways that he is actually speaking to me in his word, through good counsel, through other people, all these things? And certainly he's able to speak specific things if he chooses to. Now, in the last episode, I talked about the children of Israel and how they heard from God. So how did they hear from God? Do you remember?
Yeah, through Moses.
That's right. So, you know, they clearly heard from God. But they heard God through Moses. And so, once again, if you're not ready to heed the word of the Lord entrusted to others for your benefit, how do you expect God to entrust you with other words? This is a common problem that we're facing today. We're not heeding the ways that God is already speaking, and then we're expecting him to speak in some other ways. It just doesn't work that way. And virtually every reference to God speaking to Israel was through a prophet, so through somebody else. So he's speaking through someone. And so I would challenge you once again, do a study on the voice of God, the voice of the Lord, the Word of God. You'll find that the Scriptures are really not about having trouble hearing God, but about listening and obeying. So, another question, how do you know when God is speaking to you? So how do we discern? Well, let me give you some things that I've learned along the way, and I'm still learning. But I believe knowing him is important if we want to hear him. And this is the whole idea of the sheep and the shepherd. They know him. They've spent time with him. And it's not, you know, they didn't have training school. They don't have sheep training schools. Learn the voice of your shepherd. Okay, you know, class, you know, starts in 5 minutes, you know, and then, okay, we're having, you don't have to train sheep. You just have to be around them, and they have to be around you. And so the more time we spend being with God, being with him in his word, being with him in prayer, being with him around his people, all of those things, as we get to know him, then we'll be better able to discern his voice. And I mentioned earlier, you know, we don't hear from him in order to be intimate with him. We need to walk in intimacy with him, which happens through faith and through trust. And I believe that hearing him will be a result. So we don't want to put the cart before the horse. And just like I mentioned also, you know, we don't hear from him in order to believe and have faith. We walk in faith. We believe. Hearing's going to be a result of that. And also, you know, we don't hear from him in order to follow and obey him. We follow and obey him anyway. You know, that's what you should do. You should be following and obeying him. And then I believe that hearing him will be a result. So, you know, to kind of go back over many of the things I've said already, I don't mean to be so redundant, but I don't know. I guess I have a problem listening. and so you'll have to forgive me, all you people listening to this podcast. Maybe you're better listeners than I am, and I don't need to repeat things so often. But learn God's voice through Scripture. That's a good place to start. You'll be better able to recognize it when he's speaking to you. I believe also learn God's voice through Jesus, what he taught, how he lived. You'll be able to better recognize God's voice. And don't discount God speaking to you through prophetic words from others. And sometimes when we think of that, I'm not talking about, you know, self-proclaimed prophets going around trying to, you know, be like something like pseudo fortune tellers or something. I'm talking about people who know God, love the Lord, walking in his spirit, and many times without them even knowing, they're hearing from God because they know his voice and they're listening. And as they're communicating with you or maybe you're sharing something with them, they give a word of wisdom or the word of knowledge or some sort of message that's to you from God, and because they're discerning his voice. And this has happened in my life so many times, and I could go and tell many stories of this, but learn to discern that. Of course, the better you know Scripture, the better you'll be able to discern. The Bible says don't despise prophetic utterances, but make sure you test it. You know, so certainly you have to test these things if they come from others. Make sure it lines up with God's word. But you can't despise it. And also, another thing is to learn God's voice and his guidance through circumstances. And that's one of the things I talked about last week, how God speaks through circumstances. And the more you learn to trust his unseen hand leading your life, the better you'll be able to recognize his voice.
But what about things that might keep us from hearing or listening to God? You said last week that you believe that there were potential hindrances.
Yes, you know, I believe the Bible does tell us that there are some potential hindrances, and once again, I'm just going to sound like a broken record here. The real issue is whether we're listening and ready to obey. But that being said, giving that disclaimer time and time and time again, here are some of the things I found in Scripture that are hindrances to hearing from God. Number one, you are not a child of God. You know, Jesus said in John 8, verse 47, he who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. So if you're not a child of God, if you've not come to a place where you're submitted to God, then certainly that's going to be a hindrance. Now, I would say a second hindrance that to hearing the voice of God is the unwillingness to obey, which would be rebelliousness. And there's an example of that in 1 Samuel chapter 28. In verse 5, it says, "When Saul saw the army of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart trembled greatly. And when Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him, either by dreams or by Urim or by the prophets. Then Saul said to his servants, 'Find me a woman who is a medium, that I may go to her and inquire of her.' And his servants said to him, 'In fact, there is a woman who is a medium at Endor.'" So we see here that here's an example of someone who's so desperate, and yet he was in rebellion to God. He was not, the reason God was not speaking to him specifically was because he had disobeyed God. And this had happened earlier in the story. So this is King Saul. And there are many other examples of this, but this one really stands out to me because he ends up consulting a medium because he's so desperate. And certainly, you know, that was a symptom. The fact that he wasn't hearing from God was a symptom of a root problem. He's being disobedient, mm-hmm. and he needed to repent and turn his heart back to the Lord. And I believe then the Lord would have reestablished that communication with him through many different ways that God was speaking to Saul before. Now, a third reason that can be a hindrance is that we lack faith and trust. And these are things I've talked about already, but I'm just kind of summarizing them. Psalm 37, verse 5 says, "Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." And sometimes we're so desperate to see God move in our lives, but the reality is we need to commit our ways to him. We need to just trust him and say, "Lord, I'm gonna follow you." And there are so many times in my life where God has spoken to me when I wasn't expecting him to speak, but I was expecting him to lead me in some way as I put my trust in him. So my expectation was, I trust the Lord to lead me, and I'm going to submit myself to him on a daily basis. One of my life verses is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 that says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." And that one you can just take to the bank. Mm-hmm. You know that when you're trusting in him, that and you're submitting to him and you're acknowledging him, he will make your path straight. A fourth reason why the voice of the Lord might be hindered in your life is just an unwillingness to wait. We talked about this a little bit last week as well, just finding times of quiet, but also just beyond that, waiting. Psalm 25, verse 5 says, "Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day." And another powerful verse is in Acts chapter 13, verse 2, and it says, "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, 'Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them.'" And that was the catalyst for Paul and Barnabas' first missionary journey. And some of us would love to hear that. Oh, wouldn't that be great for the Holy Spirit to speak and say, "Set apart Philip and Rhett for this mm-hmm. particular work." And we'd think that would be great, but are we willing to minister to the Lord and fast and wait upon him? Is what they were doing. You know, they were ministering to him. They were fasting. They were praying, worshiping him, and spending that time. Now, a fifth reason why the voice of the Lord might be hindered in your life is you're not yielded to the Holy Spirit. Once again, I did a podcast just a couple weeks ago talking about the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And when I grew up in the church, and I didn't hear a whole lot about the Holy Spirit. But in Luke chapter 2, verse 26, it says that, and this is speaking of a man of God. It said it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And so here was a godly man, upright, and it was the Holy Spirit that revealed this to him. And so you have to be yielded to the Holy Spirit. In Luke chapter 12, verse 11, Jesus tells his disciples, "Now when they bring you to the synagogues and magistrates and authorities, do not worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say." So God is communicating to them and through them by the Holy Spirit. And in John 14, verse 25, he says, "These things I've spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I've said to you." So, and I would say the last thing, as far as hindrances, is just a recap of what I talked about last week. This continual torrent of information and noise has brought us to a place where we're neglecting not only those times of quiet, but the need for times of prayer, times of meditation upon God's Word, time in God's Word, just spending a lot of time with Him. And once again, all these things, these are principles. There are certainly exceptions to all of these, because this is about a relationship with God, who's unchanging, but we are individuals and we are all over the map. And thank God, He's very patient with all of us. So I think we need to continue to just live a surrendered life. And one of the things that I struggled with for many years was just, direction. You know, I think that's what a lot of people struggle with, is I need to hear from God, because if I just knew 100% what God wanted me to do, I would do it, but I'm not sure. And as I think about that in my own life, something that God has been teaching me over and over again, because sometimes I don't always listen and I don't always obey, but He continues to be faithful to teach me this timeless truth. And years ago, as I was seeking the Lord, looking for direction, God taught me, says, "Philip, you know the direction that I want for you." And it wasn't what I was thinking. You know, what He revealed to me is, "Philip, the direction I want for you is to get on your face before me, you know, to get on your knees, seek me." Hmm. You don't spend your time fretting about this particular direction or this particular situation right now. The reason you're having these troubles and these thoughts and these doubts or these questions is because you haven't spent the time that you need to with me. And if you do that, then I'm going to be able to speak to you and give you direction, or at least give you peace in the direction that you're going. And you know, God's been teaching me that time and time again. I'm kind of a slow learner. I have to be reminded. But when I begin to have questions about direction, when I begin to get anxious and I begin to think, "Oh, if I could just hear from God," the common denominator in all my experiences is that, wow, if I was to look at my life, it's times when I'm neglecting prayer. I'm neglecting God's Word. I'm neglecting spending time of quiet and reflection. And so these are things that we need to do. We need to spend that time with the Lord.
So how about a quick action step before we close?
Well, nothing quick, but at least for the audience, that is. We need more time, and not just for this podcast, but to spend time with God. We need more time to spend with Him. And be still before Him with that readiness to hear and to obey in all the ways He is already speaking to us. So carve out the times that you need for quiet times and reflection in your life. And in order to do that, you're going to need to turn some things off. You're going to need to unplug some things. And, you know, if spiritual disciplines were easy, they wouldn't be called disciplines. You've been listening to the MediaTalk 101 podcast. Visit MediaTalk101.org for helpful articles, videos, and other resources. If you have a question or a topic you would like to have discussed on this program, please send an email to podcast@MediaTalk101.org.